Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
5 o'clock, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio, Marcus Hayes in for Marks and Reese. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to the phone lines here in just a minute. As we, of course, discussed the Hall of Fame announcement yesterday, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens do not make it. Curt Schilling does not make it. Jimmy Rollins gets about 9% of the vote. And is Daryl Morey doing the right thing, holding out with this Ben Simmons deal despite Joel Embiid playing at an MVP level? I say no. You cannot waste this Joel season. Trade Ben now. Marcus says it's smart to wait. Before we get back to all that, though, you know what time it is. It's 5 o'clock. That means it's time for a top 5 at 5 with Jack Fritz.
Marcus, welcome to the Top 5 at 5, where we rank 5 random things, whatever I'm feeling that day, into a list of 5 for everyone to enjoy. And today, with you being here, I thought it would be appropriate to rank my 5 favorite press conference moments of the last 5 years, because you were likely there for most of those press conferences.
Guilty.
And I'll start with a legendary one from a former executive here.
Our goal is a franchise. I'll just spread it out for you. I can just give it to you. We wanted to have the quickest turnaround from a rebuild under a new regime to a postseason. That's 4 years. If the season ended today, we would have met our goal. We would be in the postseason in our fourth year. If we don't, we don't.
The level of arrogance from Andy McPhail.
My jaw was fractured. It dropped so fast and so hard when he said, we have had the quickest rebuild to what?
It was the biggest lie ever. They weren't even good.
Like, it was the biggest manipulation of semi-facts in a non-political sphere in the history of mankind.
I thought the guy was doing a talk show trying to make his point. I mean, is this real stuff, Andy? You can't spin it as you... They compared themselves to the Cubs, who won a world championship.
The Astros.
The Astros, who had built a great team. The Phillies built a 500 team for $200 million and did a parade about it.
Also, it was contingent on them making the playoffs.
Right. And... didn't care if he didn't. If we don't, we don't. You could have sold T-shirts with that on it.
If we don't, we don't.
It's like the Dodgers, who all go to the playoffs every year. Like, if they miss once, they'll survive. Like, the Phillies haven't made the playoffs in a decade.
If we don't, we don't. I still get paid.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable. Number 4, who could forget the introductory press conference for Nick Sirianni?
Next thing that's very important to me is that we build a smart football team. That we have a smart football team here. And I know we have the people in place to do that. The first part of that, the first part of being smart, is knowing what to do. We're gonna have systems in place that are easier to learn. All right, complicated to the defense or offense that they're going against, or the special teams group they're going against, but easy for us to learn. Because when we can put that, when we can learn our system and we can get good at our system, then our talent can take over. Less thinking equals talent take over, but we need to have systems in place, and we will have systems in place to do so.
At the end of that press conference, I think I wrote the headline to my column. Or no, it might have been the lead. I think it was something like, the Eagles just fired Gomer Pyle and hired Barney Fife.
I mean, there was nobody in this city that felt good after that. Like, some people said, it's not that big of a deal. It's only a press conference. Let's calm down. But nobody felt good. You couldn't have. I mean, the guy, he's just stumbled for 50 minutes.
I'm convinced Carson was just like, yeah, you still got to trade me.
Yeah,
and after that, Carson's like, yeah, this guy's
this
dumber
than...
this
is the guy you brought in?
This guy's dumber than I am. All right, I got to go.
I just, like, if you had told me that this team would have won 9 games that day, I would have said, I don't think so.
He's getting coach of the year votes.
Unbelievable.
What a guy. The number 3, Who could forget the infamous John Middleton, Matt Klentak debacle from a couple years ago?
So I'm going to ask you a question, Howard, and then I'm going to give you some stats. The question is this. You tell me what part of this organization isn't better today, and really substantially better today, than it was 4 years ago when they came. So
I'm
that's
gonna
the
look
question.
At the minor league system, and I see since Matt's drafted, I believe you have two players that made the major leagues in Cole Irvin this year and Haseley. So outside of that, I'm wondering, there's a feeder system. Other teams have injuries, and they've overcome them. The Phillies couldn't, and I don't think it was all Gabe's fault, but I realized the decision had to be made. But what did he have to support him from your draft picks?
So, the bullpen's ERA, to answer your question, in the second half of the season, particularly from the trade deadline on, Howard, wasn't it the fourth best bullpen ERA in baseball? So just kind of sit there and say that the cupboard was bare is not true, because if that's the case, then what about the other 26 teams that had a worse bullpen?
And that might as well have been the Three Stooges up there, those three, going through their stats, whispering to each other. They referenced the bullpen in the second half, which was cast-offs. Remember those guys they brought in that year? They were
Mike
cast-offs.
Morin.
And they were playing teams that were either, like, decimated, were horrible, or didn't care about those. I mean, it was beyond arrogance, and it was beyond embarrassing, and it was Howard bringing you to your knees, you know? And that's not to denigrate Howard, but Howard's very much a macro guy. You know, when he's giving you specific bullet points and saying, this is where, and this is where, and this is where, and you're looking at him and you're stammering and stuttering, it's got to be just humiliating because he knows he's got you.
My favorite part of that regime with the Phillies was they acted as if they were fine. They knew what they were doing. They were going to win, and we were all stupid ones. And we're sitting there like, you don't have any players here.
I will say this. Gabe very seldom acted that way. He said some weird stuff, but he never pretended they were good when they weren't good.
Right.
And Ned Rice, the holdover, was always like, look, we know what we are, yada, 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 when you got him by himself. Andy and Andy McPhail and Matt Klentak were always, hey, you know, things aren't as bad as they look. This is the upside. Ned Rice was always like, look, this is what we think we have. Ned Rice survives.
Yeah.
Marcus, what was your reaction to the 11-minute answer from that press conference? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I actually had to stop recording with my actual recorder and move to my phone because it went dee-dee when the recording, and this is like, it has 100 interviews on it, but this was like way further into this interview, and I was like, you got to be kidding me, I have to change record. So there's a portion of that, I missed like 20 seconds of that interview because I ran out of tape.
Unbelievable. Number two. So, after a year of having drops like this...
He's a treasure. Celebrate him. Celebrate all the stuff he does well. Only in Philadelphia.
As soon as the season ends and we see the biggest culprit as to why they end, Doc Rivers going with this.
Doc, do you think Ben Simmons can still be a point guard for a championship team like the one you guys want to become?
Yeah, David, I don't know that question or the answer to that right now. So I don't know the answer to that.
Doc was like a guy who promised he would go down with the ship, and as soon as they started taking on any water, he grabbed that life jacket and jumped. I'm out.
You know, again, that 2-week period with Doc during that Atlanta Hawks series, I've very seldom been more disappointed in somebody I admire. And I admire Doc as a coach. I admire him as a person. I admired him as a player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was one of those guys who got every bit of output from his ability.
Yeah, this city would have appreciated him as a player. Yeah,
yeah. And to see him go to the lengths that he went to carry water for Ben, to the degree where he would insult established people asking honest questions about a serious situation. Hey, at the beginning of that series. I think it was D. Lynam and Kevin Kincaid asked about, listen, can you have Ben on the court late in games?
It's a fair
question.
And
before game seven, I asked him, I said, are you thinking about changing your lineup? You know, maybe put Tyrese at point and either bench Ben or put Ben at the four. And he accused us all of not knowing basketball. And guess what? Maybe we knew it a little bit better than he thought or he did.
Which leads to number one. I would say the funniest moment of the Doug Peterson era, courtesy of one of our own here.
Jeffrey said at the beginning of the year, that the young quarterback, when he starts his first year, he, you know, learns what he learns. His second year, he makes a few more steps. But his third year and fourth year is when he kind of explodes. Have we seen maybe a premature explosion, or is there still an explosion?
All right, let's regroup here. Let's regroup.
Wasn't me, Doug. Wasn't me.
I know. Ooh, boy.
The always mature Doug Peterson couldn't keep it together there.
So, you know, not a lot of people know this, but I covered Doug Peterson's season as the starter in Philadelphia in 1999. And he's kind of a dichotomous guy. He wants to be one of the boys, but he also wants to be like a devout Christian. He really does. And like dirty jokes and inferences and awkward moments are his favorite things in the world because it makes him one of the guys.
Right.
And he always, like most big, you know, good-looking quarterback guys who, you know, played college ball and pro ball, he always thinks he's like the alpha, the coolest guy in the room. And he never is. Everybody knows he's not except him. But it's fine because he's a decent dude. The joke's on him, but it's not really a joke. But you put him in a situation like that, and that to him, I couldn't do that with Andy. You know, Andy would like kind of gloss it over or
right.
grunt or something like that. But with Doug, you can do something like that, and everybody, you know, it breaks the tension. And I will say that's my favorite Doug Peterson moment, including the Super Bowl Philly, where he mispronounced the name of the play that Nick Foles called.
My favorite part of it wasn't like he couldn't let it go. Like you got him. It was like you had him. Like you ever watch someone break down laughing and like, uh-oh, that person's gone for 5 minutes.
Yeah,
that was Doug. Then you had him there. All right, they're the best press conference from his last 5 years. Top 5 at 5 with Jack. This hour sponsored by Guided Door and Window. Take advantage of Guided Door and Window's big winter sale through the month of January. Receive 40% off all windows and doors. Call 1-877-GO-GUIDE or visit GUIDA.com. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. Jason, I see a lot of agree with Marcus here. What is going on here? Jason in Swedesboro. What's up, Jason?
Hey, what's up?
What are you thinking, Jason? What's on your mind?
Listen, I'm not saying I agree with everything Marcus is saying, but for the majority I am. Because I can't agree with you saying that Ben Simmons doesn't have any like value in the NBA. The dude's an all-star. Like, he's a DPOY candidate. He's always putting stuff on the field, like on the court some way, somehow. And for the Nets, I don't see why they wouldn't want a DPOY candidate on that team right now, seeing as how much offense they have. Having a straight defender like that who can still, you know, it's not like he can't put up points. You know, he averaged, what, 20 points last year?
No.
I think he's dwindled from like 18 to 14.
When Embiid's out, he puts up points though, right?
Do you think the Nets want Ben Simmons, Jason?
Yes.
I think you're telling yourself that because we want James Harden.
No, that's the thing. I don't care. Like, if we keep Simmons for the next 4 years to be petty, I'll love it too because I'm petty. But the thing is, the Nets. Oh my God, if Daryl Morey was like, oh, no one wants to give us something good? Well, we're not just going to give him for nothing. I'll just make him sit for 4 years and rust him away until he can't play yet.
But don't you want to win? Like, Joel Embiid's playing like an MVP right now.
I want to win. But I'm a Philly fan. I'm used to losing at this point.
Yeah, I can't do this anymore. I got to get him out of here so we can get a player in that can help Joel. That's all I want.
Man, look, I want to get rid of him and Tobias's contract, and we can bring Harden in. That's really all I want. I don't care what we give to get rid of Tobias, but this contract needs to get off of our salary cap, plain and simple, to get some, you know, players. Until that happens, we aren't going to compete anyway. It's that simple. If we have Tobias on this team, we're not winning anything unless he goes back into an all-star form.
Well, I think that if one of the issues about with Tobias for me is I did a story 2 years ago when Jimmy Butler left, and the crux of the story was, is Tobias Harris ready to be the Kobe Bryant of this team? Because his favorite player, the player he emulated, the player he wanted to become, was Kobe Bryant. And he was like, yeah, I'm ready. I'm going to do all I can. You look at what I did in Los Angeles. You look at what I've done other places. I'm ready to take that step. And he wasn't. He isn't, you know. That said, I think that he definitely could be, you know, a number three guy. Look at how good he was when Jimmy Butler was on the team and Joel Embiid was out of shape garbage.
Yeah, he was better then.
I mean, this is the guy. He will be taking the second best perimeter defender if you get somebody to take the best perimeter defender, which means he will not have his shot blocked. He will not get double teamed. He will have a guy whose lateral movement is probably challenged because that guy's probably a better offensive player than a defensive player. When you add James Harden, you amplify Tobias Harris. James Harden and Tobias Harris is a pretty valuable 1-2 punch, especially if Joel Embiid has to miss 20 games. And here's the other thing about that, right, Joe? If James Harden comes here at his age, in his condition, with Joel Embiid, they're only going to play about 40 games in the regular season together.
Right.
And they're going to be, you know, it's going to be 60 games for this guy, 60 games for this guy, 40 games together. Playoffs, here we come.
Yeah, it will be disjointed during the regular season. I mean, neither of those guys are playing every single day. That's for sure. Let's go to Ian, who's in Harleysville. What's up, Ian?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Ian. What are you thinking?
All right, so I'm 39, right? Almost 40. And I'm just thinking about this whole Hall of Fame thing. I'm a huge Philly sports fan, but I love baseball. I love football. I followed baseball when I was younger. The Hall of Fame doesn't matter, okay? Barry Bonds. Seven MVPs. Okay? He has the most home runs of all time. He has the most walks of all time. And, I mean, right there, I don't even think anything else really matters. He's the greatest player of all time. And I know he cheated, but there's a lot of greats that cheated. I mean, Tom Brady cheats. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Mickey Mantle take gorilla testosterone? Like, nobody ever talks about that.
I mean, we know a lot of great players took amphetamines. I mean, Henry Aaron had talked about using greenies, which they were called back in the day. I mean, my stance on this, Ian, has always been every player, every generation, a lot of players will take whatever edge is there, right? And in the 1940s and 50s, anabolic steroids weren't there, but they would take whatever they could get their hands on.
Yeah, get over injuries, whatever. Yeah. I did have a quick question for you. Isn't Barry Bonds the only player to be walked with the bases loaded?
So I don't know if he's the only player ever. I mean, there have been – obviously we're talking about intentionally walked. I mean, that was the famous one. I saw the video circulating last night. Ian, we appreciate the call. Marcus, that was Buck Showalter was managing the Diamondbacks then. They walked.
Right, I watched that. Yeah. I might have been at that game because we used to cover all the playoffs at that point.
Okay, and he walked him with the bases loaded because I don't remember the score of the game, but they were up more than one, right? He he'd rather lose the one run than let Bonds hit a grand slam or whatever, an extra base hit. I mean, that kind of respect for an offensive player, that's super rare. I mean, you never see that. Who gets walked with the bases loaded intentionally?
Did Bryce do that? That happened this year with Bryce, right?
Did it?
I don't
think it was.
I think they walked the bases loaded with Bryce.
Right. Maybe there's the open base or something,
right,
and they walked him to make the bases loaded.
Right, I don't think it was an open base. I think they walked him to put a runner on third.
Right.
Which is, you know, sacrilege. But
yeah, they moved the runner up into third base.
Yeah, they gave him the base. They gave and they guaranteed that anything out of the infield is going to score a run. But it's a really – one of the things that people do not give Barry Bonds enough credit for, he was hitting against guys like Glavine and Maddux and Jamie Moyer, whose strike zones were, you know, about the size of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And – his pitch recognition,
amazing,
was unmatched for a power hitter in the 50s, since Ted Williams. Okay, his eye was insanely good, and his power zones. Jack can talk about this. The zones where he knew he could drive the ball, he would just lock in on those zones and not twitch if the pitch was out of those zones, even if it was a strike. That has nothing to do with juice.
And then when he got his pitch, usually once a plate appearance, especially those
years. Maybe twice a game.
He didn't miss it.
Right.
When he got it. I mean, if you go back, his numbers from 01 to 04, and I understand this is probably the peak of when he was on because he was age 36 to 39. But we will never see anyone ever do this again. And I know we always think like this, like probably people thought this about Michael and then LeBron came along. There's always the next great player. Mike Trout's a great player. We'll never see anyone hit like that again for 4 years.
Well, and here's something else that Larry Boa brought up. Boa was a coach in New York when A-Rod was there, right?
Right.
Boa is not pro-steroids. I think he's kind of ambivalent about the steroid era. His contention is there are lots of guys who did steroids. But there are very, very few guys who took PEDs and benefited from them the way that they could. Every guy that took steroids and worked out and worked on their craft and became a monster had to do the work with the steroids. Yeah, okay, they got more out of it than another guy would, and maybe they got more out of it for a longer part of their career than another guy would. But I'll bring this back to Boa and A-Rod. He was never more impressed with any player than he was with Alex Rodriguez's work ethic. And Alex Rodriguez had made his money and won his MVPs at that point. He could have coasted. But Alex Rodriguez was the hardest working Yankee every single day.
Yeah, I mean, he moved from short to third and became the best third baseman for a while. That's hard to do.
And he would do gassers on game days. He would lift after games. Alex Rodriguez was a consummate professional at being a professional, and he took PEDs.
Yeah. That's why these guys are different. That's why Bonds was different. Clemens, A-Rod, they were truly great players. 215-592-9494. That gets you aboard. All right, we got Marcus Hayes, Joe Giglio debating the Sixers. What are they doing here? Ben Simmons, 2 weeks till the trade deadline. I say trade him for the best they could trade him before the deadline. Help Joel Embiid this year. Marcus is okay waiting on the idea of James Harden this summer and potentially something better down the line. And Hall of Fame yesterday. No Bonds, no Clemens. It's a mistake by baseball. We're debating that as well. Your phone calls. And Marcus today was at the Flyers press conference as that franchise just completely capsizes here. Marcus's thoughts on the Flyers presser today and more of your phone calls. 215-592-9494 at Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Mark Cerise, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio, Marcus Hayes in for Ike and John today. Jack behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. Before we go back to the phone lines here, we do have to talk about what happened today. Marcus, before you came in here today, you were at the Flyers presser as the Flyers continue to lose in historic fashion here. I mean, this is just night after night. This team is horrendous. And today they spoke. Chuck Fletcher spoke. What'd you take away from today?
There were two pretty marked takeaways. Number one, Dave Scott, who runs it all, says this is not a 3-4-5 year rebuild. They expect to be competitive next season.
Next year, as in and the following season from this one.
As in, like, what, 9 months from now?
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, Dave Scott said, I'm sorry.
He apologized?
He apologized. He used the words, I'm sorry. It was the damnedest thing. I've been to 1,000 of these, and I guess when they looked around the arena and saw 17 people there, four of whom were employees, they were like, we got to apologize to the fans for what's going on here with the, you know, I guess it's 12 or 13 losses in a row, franchise record, and with the, you know, all-time record in sight. So this is going to get worse before it gets better. They also said that Sean Couturier and Ryan Ellis are facing season-ending procedures, which means, you know, you can argue their two most significant players or two of their three most significant players aren't coming back, and it's mid-season. So there was lots of news, and the tenor was, we know we're horrible. We're going to stay horrible for a little bit, but it's going to be all better, so please buy season tickets for next year.
Yeah, well, that last thing you said, I saw some of the quotes before we spoke today. That's what I took away, is they're worried. They're worried about selling tickets and being relevant. And right now, the Flyers are as irrelevant as they have ever been in my life.
Well, probably in their existence, because there was a huge interest when they were formed.
Then they were really good in the 70s.
They were really good.
And then
ever since, they've been pretty good.
Yeah, I spent 80s, 90s.
Yes.
And then, you know, I'd say the last 10 years it's waned and they're not as good, but they haven't been awful. It's interesting. The only time this gets brought up most of the time on sports radio is now. Like, we're having this discussion not because the season's going on, because it's so bad.
Well, they sold us 10 years ago on Claude Giroux and at one point Sean Couturier, Wayne Simmonds, and, of course, Jake Voracek.
Yep.
And, you know, James Van Riemsdyk, who wasn't Patrick Kane. And none of them, including Claude Giroux, who I think should be in the Hall of Fame, panned out the way they thought they would pan out. And now it's Ivan Provorov. You know, and to a degree, Carter Hart. You know, we were told Carter Hart was a salvation. Carter Hart's a very good goalie, but he's not a Vezina guy, okay? So they keep making promises they can't fulfill, and I think they're reaping what they've got in a generation of 25 to 40-year-olds who they've been promising this stuff to in a very exciting time, and they got lucky a couple of times and made a couple of runs, but they were always hollow promises, and they sold themselves on the promises as well.
Yeah, it feels hopeless right now, and maybe they could turn this around the next few years and things will get better. But
in their defense, they might be mediocre if they didn't have, I think it's a league leading 222 man games missed of significant players.
It's a lot, yeah.
You know, but that gets them to mediocre.
Right, and that's not good enough. I mean, if you're hockey and you're mediocre, you get kind of lost in the shuffle. And they're beyond that right now. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Matt in Ridley here on Mark Cerise. What's up, Matt?
What's up, boys? How we doing today?
Good, Matt. What's on your mind? What are you thinking?
I was going to comment on Simmonds. I know that was earlier in the show, but I tell you, I think you both make good arguments. But as far as I'm going to put my two cents out there, I'd let him sit because I'm a little on the spiteful side. I don't like what he did to the franchise.
You're petty like the other guy.
These are my favorite takes on Ben. Yes. Just let him sit. 4 years. Let him rot.
The franchise is going to be around longer than him. He's going to waste 4 years of his career not playing. For what reason? Like, what's his reasoning behind not wanting to play?
Well, that's the thing.
Because he can't shoot free throws because he doesn't like the fans?
That's the thing.
That's not
What yeah, his agents have done, Matt, is not allow him to defend himself. They won't let him talk. They won't let him say, this is why I don't want to play. I mean, there might be some sympathy for Ben Simmonds if Ben Simmonds deigned to acknowledge the rest of the human race. But he's above that at this point.
Isn't that pretty pathetic, though, as far as, you know, his age and the, well, maybe he is kind of young, but, you know, he's supposed to be a little more mature than that.
Well, he's doing what his agents and his family recommend he do. I don't think Ben Simmonds makes a lot of decisions without consultation, and maybe he shouldn't at his age. Mm-hmm. He's 24, 25 years old. He hasn't had a lot of real-life experience where there are consequences. But this strategy of sort of shutting himself in and allowing, you know, his narrative to be written by rumor is disastrous. There is no one in any industry, whether it's the media industry, the NBA industry, the industry of sport, that is sympathetic to Ben Simmons. The most resonant thing that's happened throughout this whole issue is Jason Kelce counseling Ben Simmons on how to be appreciated in Philadelphia.
And he made it seem so simple.
And it is. You have to do is say, hey, you know what? I screwed up. I'm going to give it another try. That's it. And Ben Simmons is above that. That is beneath him. And his agents and his family are advising him that that's the best path.
Right, but to that point, his family and his agent, what does that say about their character that they're coaching him to be this way?
Yeah, well, it doesn't speak highly of it. But
apparently Adele doesn't think highly of his agent right now either.
That is true. But I do think they're doing their job, right? If they're trying to get – if he wants out of here and he wants all his money, right? I think those are his two objectives. He doesn't want to play for the Sixers anymore and he wants all his money. Then, you know, character aside and doing the right thing aside, they're doing their job.
No, I don't think they are doing their job. I think they're destroying his brand.
But if his objectives are out of here and all my cash, right now they're going to get those two things.
But that might be all – that can't be your only objective, because if you really want to get out of here, this is not the best path to get out of here. Because you know what? He's not out of here.
Not yet.
The best path to get out of here would have been to show up, play for a few weeks, and show the rest of the NBA that you can be a good teammate. Because the bottom line is, this is the worst thing you can do for the rest of your team.
Of course.
This is the worst teammate thing you can do. Take money and not show up.
Yeah,
that's it. You know, it's horrible. And you cannot have – this is the definition of team cancer.
It's part of why
that's not the best strategy, because he's not getting his end. He would have had his end had he not chosen this particular strategy.
Maybe. I mean, but we don't know what the offers would have been, but it certainly would have been a better strategy for him long term. I mean, you're right. His image is destroyed here. Marcus, you mentioned this earlier, and it's obviously a big part of this. I find it fascinating that in an era where we've never had more empathy for mental health in this country, and that's a good thing. We've never had more empathy. I find most fans don't believe him.
Well, I'm torn on it. I believe there is an issue with Ben Simmons mentally playing for the Sixers. He doesn't like them, so he doesn't want to. And by definition, that's an issue.
But I feel like there's something, there's a gray area here where like this stuff, there's some serious stuff that kind of is added into this, and I don't know if that's the truth. I don't know. It's hard to believe. He came in. There was a whole story about it. He had his back hurt. Right then, the next day, it was a mental health issue. And if he's dealing with something serious, I hope he gets better and gets help. But this is a bizarre situation.
Well, and that's the other thing. You know, we heard from Brandon Brooks today.
Yes, who's announced his
retirement. We've heard from Brandon Brooks several times
when
he's had issues with anxiety and depression. We heard from Lane Johnson both before and after his admission that he had anxiety issues long ago, which we didn't make very much of at that point because we thought that his were sort of, you know, run-of-the-mill garden variety issues that maybe we all have once in a while. But as it turns out, they were worth medicating, and his medication issue cost him 3 games this year, okay? And he still deals with that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It seems as though Ben is trivializing people with what we perceive to be more significant and debilitating issues.
And that frustrates me.
And there's no reason he can't talk about it.
Yeah, and it frustrates me. And it really makes me wonder if we're going to see more of this, because what are the league supposed to do? Like, they're not going to take his money away, right?
The arbitrator would give it back to him.
Yeah.
But I will be interested to because I don't think the NFL or the NBPA, the National Basketball Players Association, is real happy with this tack either. Because what the league's going to do when it comes time to negotiate this stuff again is they're going to try to get rid of it. They're going to say, look, you abused it. You can't have it. Whatever OSHA says you can have, you can have.
Yep.
Whatever is mandated, you can have. But we're not going through this garbage again. To the degree that, okay, maybe the only people who can write you the script is a team affiliated psychologist or psychiatrist.
Yeah, it gets worse by the day. The fact that this is still going on. Inge is in King of Prussia. Inge, what's going on today?
Oh, I can't believe I'm hearing this.
I don't care if Embiid averages 50 points a game. First of all, the NBA has never been worse than it is right now. And secondly, the regular season in the NBA is like preseason football. It means nothing. Forget about Harden. This talk about Harden makes me nauseous.
So you don't want him, or are you with me? He's not coming here.
No. I want to stay clear of this guy.
Wait a second. Inge, you want to stay clear of James Harden?
Harden is the most overrated player. Look, Harden reminds me of this. Why do you want Harden? The mix between Embiid and Harden, there is none. They're exactly the same player. Harden is simply a smaller version of Embiid. They dominate the ball.
That is, offensively, you might be right, but Embiid's a transcendent generational defensive player. However, I agree with you. Unless they're the only two guys touching the ball on every possession, it might not be the best marriage, especially in a playoff series where you can design defenses to take away the things that those two guys like to do most. That's a real good – Harden has not been great in the playoffs, and neither has Embiid.
Exactly. I can't see this mix up.
Inge, but what are we getting? What's better? I mean, this is like the argument I made earlier about Ben. I'm trying to make the most of a bad situation. Yes, I'm not saying Harden's perfect, but my alternative is what? Like, what's your alternative to Harden and Embiid? Give me something better.
Better is this. Starting lineup, either Maxey or Curry at your point. You got Tobias at the two.
Tobias at the two?
Wait, Hunter.
Inge, Tobias at two? He
can't
guard threes.
Let him finish. This is innovation.
No, finish.
All right, Maxey. Let's review because I was wrong for cutting you off. Inge, you have Maxey at the one, Tobias at the two. What else?
Look, Tobias would be perfect posting up the smaller guards. He'll be perfect. Number three will be Hunter, and then four would be John Collins, and you got Embiid.
That's a great idea.
So you want to trade Simmons for Hunter and Collins from the Hawks?
Oh, I would do that immediately.
Well, I like Collins, too. I think Collins is a good player, but Tobias can't play the two, Inge. What are we doing?
Yeah, he'll be more effective and efficient playing the two.
Well, Inge. Who's going to defend the two?
Right.
Who's going to stop Ja Morant?
Look, Hunter is a great defender. Maxey can play some defense.
No, he can't. Maxey didn't get playing time last year in the playoffs because he's a horrible defender. He's getting better, but he can't stop real players.
Inge, Tobias is 6'8". Like, he can't play the two.
Wait, what's Steve Smith? You've never heard of big two guards in your life?
Yeah, Steve Smith was a pretty good defensive player.
I like Steve Smith. Yeah, he does TV stuff now. I see him sometimes.
So it's an intriguing idea. It won't work, and you're taking like four assets off the court, including your best defender, the perimeter defender, Matisse Thybulle. But it might work in like what's that thing called that where they do like the college teams get back together, TBT, the basketball tournament.
Oh yeah,
yeah. They don't play defense anyway, and you get crazy matchups. So that would be an excellent TBT lineup. I would bet on them. To what is it? They got the first team to 69 or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's it. The idea of Tobias the two, and we hear some wild ideas around here. Heck, we come up with our own dumb ideas sometimes.
Moving him from the four to the two.
Yeah, he couldn't guard threes. Yeah. We're going to put him at the two now. Yeah, right. You know, Inge's on top of this.
Yeah, Marcus, did you enjoy your first conversation with Inge?
Well, I got to say, the Jimmy Butler Tobias Harris matchup in the playoffs, I mean, get me to BetQL.
Jimmy Butler would smoke him.
It would just be a bloodbath.
Take the over on Jimmy Butler's points.
You have to
quarter.
Hide Tobias on defense as it is when he's playing a three or a four. Can you imagine what they would do to him in a high pick and roll over and over and over again?
No, I couldn't. But I actually now, in like a morbid way, I want to see this become the Sixers starting lineup. I want to see what happens.
That's right. It could be genius. It could be like Houston with their, you know, nobody over 6'4 lineup from 2-3 years ago. Right?
Oh, and Covington played center.
Yes, Cubs. Yes. Yeah.
Jim is in Haddon Heights. What's up, Jim?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Jim.
I think we're all trying to just get over our Eagles hangover, and we're all a little grumpy now. We're just getting like out of bed. And we're kind of trying to move everything.
Hangover? What are you talking about? The Eagles made the playoffs.
They did.
There should be an Eagles celebration. This was a bonus year. The Eagles went to the playoffs with a coach who wasn't qualified to coach them and a quarterback who wasn't qualified to start.
I and I'm looking forward to next year, but it's still, we lost, so it's, yeah, we're trying to move over.
Okay.
I was calling, obviously, about the Sixers and the Simmons. I think I agree with you, Marcus. I think the Simmons for Harper trade, if it can happen, would work well for the Sixers, obviously, and the Nets as well, because I think they have enough scoring that they could, you know, assume Simmons and get more value out of him. But I want to ask you a question. If a bunch of callers back, Jake asked, how would you feel if the Sixers? How would you feel about the Sixers if it was relative to last year's team? But now, and they have a much improved Maxey and Thibault. You have Embiid playing out of his mind. And if somehow we could get Simmons to stay, and he wouldn't be the focal point, because now Maxey stepped up. Do you think that would be a team that can get out of the East?
Well, that was my suggestion for Game 7 of last year's Eastern Conference semifinal against the Hawks. You know, putting Ben Simmons at the four and putting Tyrese Maxey, who wasn't nearly as good as he is now, at the point to see if that would work. And that would have been my lineup coming into this season, even if that meant, you know, sitting Danny Green, which, you know, isn't the worst thing in the world, and moving Tobias Harris to the three, if it matters, you know what I mean? So I would love that alignment, but I don't think Ben Simmons would ever go for that. And I blame Brett Brown for that, because Brett Brown allowed the Ben Simmons camp to, or maybe encouraged the Ben Simmons camp, or aligned with the Ben Simmons camp, to make Ben Simmons, who's a power forward, a point guard who passes well and dribbles well. And I think that that would be an excellent lineup. I think that could beat the Milwaukee Bucks. I think that could beat the Brooklyn Nets. I keep wanting to call them the New Jersey Nets.
It's hard.
It's really hard, because the New Jersey Nets was a pretty good name.
San Diego Chargers. Sometimes it's hard.
L.A. Rams.
Yeah, I was saying
joking,
a couple weeks
joking,
ago.
Joking,
with
joking, as they keep moving. So anyway, yeah, that would have been that. I would love that lineup, and I'd love that bench as well. You know, you would go eight deep with that alignment, and that could beat the Lakers. That could beat the Milwaukee Bucks. That could beat Utah. That could beat Denver. You know, I think the toughest matchup would probably be the Nets, healthy,
sure,
and fully, you know, fully whole, because you have three guys who can combine for 100 points every night, and you can't stop them.
Yeah, it's the greatest scoring trio of all time that's ever played together.
So yeah, I would love that that configuration, Jim, but Ben would never go. Ben would never. One of the biggest issues, probably the biggest issue that makes Ben have the sads, is Doc Rivers saying he's not sure he could be a point guard on a championship team. I think that is the deal breaker. I think that's a straw that broke the camel's back. It's the only time Doc has ever really criticized Ben, and it's the ultimate criticism. You can't play the position everybody's been saying you can't play.
Yeah, I think, you know, look, he deserves a lot of criticism, Ben, for how he never progressed. But I do think that the Sixers threw him under the bus after Game 7. He was not the only reason they lost that series.
Yeah, he was.
He wasn't.
Yeah, he was.
I mean, Joel Embiid
by far the biggest reason.
By far the biggest.
Not
the
only. By far the biggest reason. And if everybody else has to be perfect, that's not realistic. Ben performed in the entire series. You look at the fourth quarter Ben Simmons stats.
It's terrible.
It was worse than it was fictional. It was so bad. So
terribly bad.
There is everybody didn't play perfect. If that's your argument, I can't argue. But nobody played worse compared to expectations and ability than Ben Simmons.
I agree. But I've never seen a team so publicly, and you just mentioned it with what Doc said, so publicly throw one player under the bus.
Well, he was answering a question.
Yeah.
And he answered it truthfully, and so did Joel.
But for weeks and months, they lied about the truth.
No,
and
Ben, well, that's true. Before that, yeah, I'm sorry, I thought you were going somewhere different.
No, they covered
before
up
before that, they lied about it, but they knew they had to. In order for Ben to not like go away and take his ball.
And once they said it was basically all him, he's like, I'm out. I can't play here anymore. And I don't think he ever will. Matt in Doylestown. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call late in the show. I appreciate it.
You got it, Matt. What are you thinking tonight?
I got a couple thoughts on the Hall of Fame. A couple things I heard in the last half hour. So the idea that that Bonds in particular didn't benefit his eyes, I heard that, like, his vision wasn't improved by the things he took. I mean, we're going on two decades now, so you have to forgive me for not being able to, you know, recall the study. But at the time, they were saying that, no, he took a specific growth hormone and specifically worked out his vision to almost develop like a superhuman ability to see the ball and recognize pitches. So like this was a targeted approach to improve his vision. So, I mean, of course that helped him. So that was like one of the things, and I'll get your comments afterwards. The second is the A-Rod workout, you know, fanatic and him being a hard worker. Harold Reynolds said last night on MLB Network when it came out that he said, look, the thing that separates good from great and great from Hall of Fame is how do you perform in the dog days when you have to play for 5 weeks straight? And steroids isn't necessarily about building muscle. It is about recovering immediately.
So that is absolutely true.
Mm-hmm. So you can keep working out. And so I don't have to sit a day out and my soreness isn't as bad. And I can keep doing those things. So that's kind of the, you know, another knock against these two guys that didn't get in last night. And I know that the crowd is saying that they should go in and all of that. And the last is that Bob Costas last night, he said that he would go for Clemens and Bonds because they were already on the trajectory to be there, that they already had established themselves and all of that. And I got to just say, like, okay, by that standard, well, so was Shoeless Joe Jackson. So was Mark McGwire. So was Palmeiro. So was Pete Rose, for that matter. Like, there's always people that are doing great and then make a bonehead decision. So, like, by that standard, well, then what? Everybody gets in because they, at some point, shift gears? Like, I thought that was a phony argument. So, anyway, thanks for taking my call. I'd like to hear what you guys have to say about that.
You got it, Matt.
Well,
appreciate it.
It's interesting about the eyesight. One of the things that happens to everyone's eyes, as they get older, they get weaker. But it doesn't happen when you're 32. You know what
right.
I'm saying? And you can argue that HGH combined with steroids will keep your eyesight from diminishing as quickly as – but Barry Bonds' eye got better the more he studied pitchers. And if you show me a 42-year-old guy who's playing baseball and his eyesight doesn't diminish, great. But if you're 36 – and you can recognize pitches the same pitches you could recognize when you were 30, you're having a hard time convincing me that HGH and steroids as a combination help your eye at the plate.
Yeah, he always knew the strikes. I think this is part of why he was great before the steroids. I mean, I looked at it right now, and it's funny, you mentioned 32. We'll wrap with this. Through age 32, because the story always went, maybe around 97, 98 is
right.
When he started taking. Through 1997, his age 32 season, he had almost 300 more walks than strikeouts, which is I mean, there's a very few players in the history of baseball that walk more than they strike out. He had already done that, and that was before steroids. He knew the strike zone like Ted Williams did. I mean, Bryce Harper really knows the strike zone, he's not even close to Bonds.
The strike zone was gigantic back then.
Yeah.
It was the Eric Gregg strike zone back then.
Oh, those were the best. Those Eric Gregg days when he's calling LeVon Hernandez pitches 5 feet off the 5 feet off the corner. All right, final Twitter question of the day, brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Did you get engaged over the holidays? Visit the experts at Mark's Jewelers for the best selection of wedding rings online. Marks-Jewelers.com. We had some good ones today here at Mark's Reese WIP in terms of our poll questions. Let's see with the finale here, the final tally, Marcus. The people with me. Or the people with you, Bonds, Clemens, yes, they're with us. 70-30 say yes, they should have made the Hall of Fame. And the ending here of our poll for today, 52% say the Sixers will be making a mistake holding on to Ben Simmons till the summer. 48% say no, that was a good one. Split 50-50. Marcus, I had a fun today. Fun show.
Absolutely a blast. I blame Jack Fritz.
Yes, the whole time.
I
blame Ben Simmons. No, fun show today. John Johnson is coming up next. He'll be hosting from 6 to 10, and I'll be back tomorrow night. Marcus is back in. So, Marcus, you have a good night. Fun show. Thank you to Jack. Thank you to everyone who participated and was part of the show tonight. John Johnson is up next right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with GameDay, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.